You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. And remember, when you get in your car, just tell your smartphone or smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints. Have a listen to the newest episode on your way to work or back home through traffic. I am your host, Ross Jackson, lead analyst for All Saints Considered. And as always, I like to start off every episode with a big thank you and welcome to our newest listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been rocking with me for a minute. Whether it's your first time or your next time, know that I love hearing from everyone that tunes in, reads, and follows. So hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. And of course, that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news articles and podcasts for Saints fans by Saints fans. And today we're going to take a look at the wide receiver review for the 2018 Saints. I wrote a little bit about each of the wide receivers. I'll also publish this up as an article over at AllSaintsConsidered.com. But if you hear it here, you heard it first. Then in our second segment, we'll talk about a Pro Football Focus article that dropped today. Mike Renner wrote an article about the 10 immediate impact free agents available this offseason. We're going to discuss whether or not the Saints have a chance to make a run at any of them. And then we'll wrap it all up by taking a look at some of the biggest stories from around the league, including some changes in the tight end and defensive line market that you, as a Saints fan, might be very interested in. We got all that coming up for you here and a little bit of Lanyap right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all, let's get started with this wide receiver review here on the Tuesday edition of Locked On Saints. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to start off with the obvious one here, Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas, obviously the best part of the Saints passing game last season, breaking the record for most receiving yards in a season for the franchise, breaking the NFL record for most receiving yards for a player in his first three seasons. Same for catches, elevated himself to superstar level as the league's best receiver last season in only his third year, entering the final year of his rookie contract, looking down the barrel of an impending extension with a team and group of players in city that he absolutely loves and has taken on an identity with. Michael Thomas needs no review, really, because it's February 19th and he's probably out there still making catches. But look, he recorded his best catch rate recorded by a receiver with over 100 targets, became the second player ever in Saints history to catch more than 100 catches after becoming the first just last year. Was one of the top players in the league in terms of receiving yardage as well. Teams committed their entire defense to stopping his production last season and could barely make that work. Unfortunately for the Saints, the options outside of can't guard Mike were pretty inconsistent. But consider this, Thomas led the Saints in receiving 11 out of 16 games, which was pretty, that's not terribly out of the ordinary for your number one receiver. However, in only three of those games was the second leading Saints pass catcher a wide receiver. In almost every case otherwise, it was either Mark Ingram or Alvin Kamara. So let's talk about some of these role players and some of these other receiving options outside of Michael Thomas, because really that's where the meat for the Saints was this season in terms of what they need to be doing to get ready for 2019. So let's start off with the primary number two guy, Ted Ginn Jr. Came over last year from the Carolina Panthers, started off the year started off the year okay with 12 catches, 135 yards, and two touchdowns over the first four games, but then went down with an injury in week four, matchup against the Giants, and then didn't return again until week 16 and then the playoffs. When he did return against the Steelers, he put together a solid game, five catches for 74 yards. That game in week 16 was the third time that a Saints receiver was second to Michael Thomas in receiving yards. So that it took till week 16 to get that, just that third time in. Remember, it only happened three times all season over the course of those 11 games in which Michael Thomas did lead the team in receiving yards. Ginn is going to be 34 years old, entering his final year of his contract in New Orleans. He's still speedy and still can affect the game with his veteran savvy. His value has been outstanding for the Saints, even though his catch rate dropped this year from his career best 75.7% in 2017 all the way down to 56.7% last season. Cameron Meredith was one of the biggest disappointments of the year, not just because he ended up hurt again and on injured reserve after the team spent some money on him to bring him over from the Bears as a restricted free agent, but also, you know, when he did find time on the field, he struggled. His production on the field wasn't really super outstanding. He only saw 10 targets over his 6 games that he played, and none of them came over his final 3 games. Meredith is more than certainly a release candidate this offseason, along with Kurt Coleman and AJ Klein. However, the Saints may not have enough ammunition at the position to do that. You can see an article about that by John Ziegler over on Saints Wire. Giving him another shot alongside Dez Bryant next year, if he heals up nicely, would probably be the better choice. Traquan Smith I have next on the list here. We all know that Smith lacked consistency throughout his rookie season coming in from UCF. Big game disappeared, big game disappeared, and then so on. He flashed enough throughout the season to be excited about his future, though putting together a pair of 100-yard receiving days against Washington and Philly. He'll get more opportunities to prove himself, and he'll also hopefully become more consistent next season, hopefully setting himself up to take over Ted Ginn's number 2 position as the primary deep threat opposite Michael Thomas and his shiny new contract come 2020. Keith Kirkwood operated really, really well out of the slot after getting his chance against Cincinnati after the Dez Bryant injury set him back to injured reserve. Kirkwood was so surprisingly good, even though the Saints had signed Brandon Marshall to help out with the receiving core, he never saw the field. Kirkwood kept him off, basically. Kirkwood is another one of those undrafted slot receivers that I think will make the need of pursuing one in free agency a moot point if given the chance. He only pulled in 13 catches over 8 games, but did so to the tune of 309 yards and 2 touchdowns, 16.1 yards per, 209 yards and 2 touchdowns, 16.1 yards per catch and 2 touchdowns on 13 catches. Really isn't that bad, so he'll be exciting to watch through training camp as he gets more reps with the first unit and gets to develop outside of just trying to work his way through the practice squad. Austin Carr showed up a couple of times during the season, but wasn't really a focal point by any means, compiling less than 100 yards on the season, but did score 2 touchdowns. Unfortunately for Carr, Kirkwood's emergence was good for the team, but bad for his snap counts. He'll be valuable depth next year, though, as the Saints' only current backup pure slot option. Tommy Lee Lewis, oh my goodness, what a season for Tommy Lee. He didn't really have a role in the offense at the beginning of the year, inactive for a major portion of the year during while Cameron Meredith, you know, had finally healed up enough to come in and get some snaps, and then Keith Kirkwood also helped to keep him off the field. Comes back against Atlanta and becomes one of the 4 undrafted players that Drew Brees throws a touchdown to in the Thanksgiving game at home. Makes a big play against the Bucs 2 weeks later, and then fumbles out of the end zone in the slugfest against the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. Things settle down for him, and then, you know, team gets to the playoffs. He focuses in a little bit more as a returner and then gets 4 offensive snaps against the Eagles in the wild card round, 4 more against the Rams, only to get pummeled by Nickell Robey-Coleman and seared into infamy as the recipient of one of the most egregious no-calls in NFL history that people actually blamed him for. People actually said, well, if he would have sold it, if he would have pretended like he was hurt or something like that, then the ref would have thrown the flag. Like, he actually got blamed for that by, you know, some faction of Saints fans and some faction of NFL fans. Tommy Lee Lewis had a tough year. Let me just say it that way. Tommy Lee Lewis had a tough year. The poor guy probably doesn't really have a place on the team next season, depending on what it is that Rizzi wants in a returner. But what a season he fought through. Look, he'll get a shot for sure in the offseason, but it's looking like he might actually be one of those people from the NFL to find his way to the AAF next spring, although his stock would be a little low over there because there's no kickoffs, there's no return game for him to try to find his way in, so he'd have to make himself work as like a smaller slot receiver or maybe, you know, somebody that can operate out of the backfield and everything as that system over there in the AAF continues to get more and more creative as they move forward. And finally, we'll close it out with Dez Bryant, who somehow feels like more of a Saint than some players that were on the roster the entire season, although he only really had one day on contract in which he wasn't on the injured reserve. You've heard it here over and over again on the podcast. He wants to come back to New Orleans. Sean Payton wants to have him back if the rehab goes well. So all in all, I'd say that the Saints should be pleased with what they have at receiver, but should, as they did throughout the season last year, continue to pursue taking it one step further. There's an unhealthy narrative out there about the Saints that they don't have that much to improve upon going into 2019, but this is one of those sneaky needs and the wide receiver position that the general fan and national analyst won't always pick up on. If the Saints can add another piece in the middle of their very top-heavy unit capped off by Michael Thomas and followed up by a bunch of role players, essentially, they'll be in better shape next year to be able to actually maintain the incredible offensive explosiveness that we saw ahead of Week 13. Could Dez Bryant be that guy? Should they go after Golden Tate? Will Marquise Brown fall far enough in the draft? Lots of options out there. We'll see what happens throughout the offseason as things are going to start heating up very soon as February is beginning to draw to a close. All right, so that's our wide receiver review for 2018. Later on this week, I'm going to bring you tight ends. And then tomorrow, of course, this first segment is going to be dedicated to the defensive players to watch over on the combine. It might actually be a couple of segments, but that's all coming up for you later on this week. For right now, we're going to jump to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Mike Renner's Pro Football Focus article about the 10 most impactful free agents available in the offseason. Will the Saints have a shot at any of them? And then, of course, we'll wrap it up by talking about some of the biggest stories from around the league. Got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Houdat Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Thank you so much for being here. Before we jump over to talk about some of the biggest stories from around the league, I have a little bit of a more free-flowing segment here, not really scripted out or really thought out or anything like that, because this article dropped right before I started recording, and I thought, you know what, let's talk about this a little bit more. So this is Mike Renner's article over at Pro Football Focus, which you can find over there at profootballfocus.com. I'll also tweet it out. But basically, he's outlined the 10 immediate impact free agents, or his 10 immediate impact free agents. And so I wanted to talk about this and see what players might the Saints have a shot at, what players the Saints could bring in that could have an immediate impact. Can they land any of these top guys or guys that are considered to be at the top of this free agency pool? So let's go ahead and we'll just run down the list and we'll talk about each one of them. Some of them I don't think the Saints are going to be interested in, but I'll still tell you who they are. So we'll start off with number one on this list, Earl Thomas, safety out of Seattle. I think that this is definitely a player that the Saints could use, especially with the lack of safety play, or with the lack of, let me not say lack of safety play, it's not really a lack of safety play, it's just a lack of quality at the safety position, particularly with the signing of Kurt Coleman this past season. So you bring in somebody like Earl Thomas, who has a track record as an outstanding safety, has been pretty healthy. He's graded at a 90 plus in each of the past two seasons. So, you know, you can't really hold his age against him at all. He's played exceptionally well for a long time. And then you also bring somebody like that in there, not only for the quality that he brings to the field, but the development of your young star like Marcus Williams. Yes, I still think Marcus Williams is going to be a star in this league. His story is too intriguing for him not to be. All he has to do is improve his quality of play on the field, and Earl Thomas would be an exceptional coach in being able to do exactly that. Second on his list, he's got Brandon Graham from Philadelphia. Brandon Graham is an outstanding player, and as much as I'd love to see him in a Saints uniform, I don't think that the Saints need to go into free agency and spend big on edge defender, so I'm going to pass on that one. And Sue is third on the list from the Rams interior defensive line. The Saints were interested in him last season. He really kind of came down to the Saints and the Rams, chose the Rams because he wanted a shot at the Super Bowl, thought that the Rams would give him a little bit more than that. The Rams also had a little bit more money as well. So, you know, I mean, look, he got his shot at the Super Bowl. They just couldn't close it out. You know, scoring 3 points doesn't help when you go to the championship game, and which, you know, doesn't have anything to do with Ndamukong Suh, because defensively the Rams played a pretty good game, but the Patriots played a better game on defense. So, you know, does Ndamukong Suh re-up with Los Angeles and try that run again, or does he want to go somewhere else and then give himself a shot with another team? The Saints could definitely use some help in the interior, but I think they might try to find it elsewhere with fewer red flags than Ndamukong Suh brings to the table. Next on Renner's list is Roger Saffold, offensive guard from the Los Angeles Rams. If the Saints decide to trade Pete, I could definitely see this. Key stat here from Renner's article, 31 years old, coming off of 3 straight full seasons, allowing 25 or fewer pressures. That kind of production, despite his age, though, could mean that they'd have to pay a pretty steep price to get him in the building. But of course, if you're looking to replace Pete in this scenario, you just saved a lot of money by moving on from him. Next on the list, cornerback Jason McCourty from the New England Patriots. We've seen the Saints do this before. The Saints have pursued veteran corners in free agency and in the offseason. They were in the Josh Norman sweepstakes for a little while. They were, you know, going after Malcolm Butler last year and the year before that. They brought in Champ Bailey one time, which that didn't go well. But the Saints have gone after these quality veterans before. And, you know, look, the one thing that the Saints secondary lacks is a veteran presence. So Jason McCourty would be an incredible asset for the Saints. Do I think that Jason McCourty ends up in New Orleans? Not very confident about that, but, you know, hey, look, I certainly wouldn't be upset, and I don't think anybody's claimed the number 30, so at least you get to keep his number in New Orleans. KJ Wright, linebacker from the Seattle Seahawks. I think that KJ Wright's going to get overpaid somewhere, or not overpaid, but he's going to get a huge offer somewhere, and the Saints won't be able to contest with that. The Saints don't need another linebacker to that extent. They don't need another sort of three-down linebacker. They need somebody that can play, you know, passing situations, or really running situations is really more important, because when they switch over to the nickel package, they've got their guys in Alex Anzalone and DeMario Davis. KJ Wright is a little bit more of that sort of three-down person that you would rely on as a linebacker, regardless of the situation on the field. So not really much of a fit in terms of what New Orleans is going to be looking for in the offseason. But speaking of fits, let's talk about a good fit here at the offensive tackle position, or really just along the offensive line. In Ty Nsekhe, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. I apologize if I butchered that. Played with Washington last year. Going to turn 34 next season, but as Renner says, he's played all of his 1,295 snaps in his career. Doesn't have a ton of miles on him, because that's not a lot of snaps for an offensive lineman, but he is a very good backup swing tackle. That's what he did for Washington last season. And in fact, he played left tackle, left guard, right guard, and right tackle all last season. And in the seasons before, he's played multiple offensive line positions, including both tackle positions and at least one guard position throughout each of the last few years. He's going to come extremely cheap, according to Renner, because of the fact that he is older and because, you know, this is what he does. He's a backup. He's kind of a career backup. But what a good asset the Saints could add. I get that he's older. He's 34, but the Saints made it work with Jermaine Bushrod this year. Maybe they could do the same thing with Ty Nsekhe next year. This is one that I would say keep an eye on. All right, coming up to the end of the list here, number 8, Cameron Wake, edge defender. I think that Cameron Wake would be a lot of fun to watch in a Saints uniform, and I think that the Saints should go out and find another rotational edge piece in free agency. I just don't think that going out and finding somebody like Cameron Wake is the right choice. I don't know, call me ignorant, but look, he's 37 years old. He's going to be good for a really long time, but I just don't really see him being the right fit in New Orleans. Excuse me, I could be completely wrong about that, and I'd be happy to, if the Saints did bring him in, be proven wrong. Over at the tackle position, number 9 on the list, Jared Veldt here. Not really somebody that I'm too entirely interested in. Plays majority left, right tackle, mostly over on the right side. Not really a big need for the Saints. And then tight end Jared Cook, number 10 on the list. Again, I talked about tight end market and in free agency and what that looks like. It's impressive this year. I just put an article up about some of the options that the Saints could go into. I didn't even talk about all of the Bengals options that are all hitting free agency this year. What a team, man. But you can check that out over at allsaintsconsidered.com. But Jared Cook was on that list. Again, I think that you're paying a little bit. I think you're going to end up paying a little bit more for, or a little bit too much for, you know, an older tight end that really stood out last year. And so I don't know that he really is somebody that I would go out and spend a lot of money on. I'd go for a younger option. But if the Saints want to bring in an older veteran option, or more, let me say more experienced veteran option in free agency, and then go for one of the young guys in the draft, Jared Cook is probably your guy, as long as you don't have to spend a ton of money on him. But he set career highs last year with 896 yards receiving. So that's got to mean something. And that was, you know, with a team that was struggling last year. So put him with Drew Brees and then see what he can do. See what he can do in the black and gold. That's fine. But, you know, I'm still all about Jesse James if you're going after somebody in free agency, 6'7", big target and a good blocker. But, you know, Jared Cook has kind of lost steam as a blocker over the course of the last couple of years. So, all right, that is Mike Renner's list of the 10 impact immediate impact free agents available this offseason. And even though some of these guys are top free agents in the entire market, the Saints actually have some pretty good options here. So let's keep an eye out on some of these names, particularly Ty Nsekhe. I'm really serious about that one. I think that he might be a good fit despite his age in New Orleans and what they like to do at the offensive line. So, all right, so that does it for that. Make sure you check out Mike Renner's article. I'll tweet it out as well. And let me know if you have any thoughts on any of these guys as well. You can hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. And go ahead and stick around. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some of the biggest stories from around the league. Thanks for being here on this wonderful Tuesday. Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Time now to talk about some of the biggest stories from around the league, and I got some good ones for you today. Let's start off with some free agency moves that have taken place that might interest you as a Saints fan. First of all, tight end Charles Clay, who was released not too long ago by the Buffalo Bills, has signed a contract with the Arizona Cardinals. One-year contract worth up to about $3.25 million. So that takes one veteran tight end out of the free agency pool and off the list of Saints possibilities. I'm not too entirely distraught about this whole idea. Charles Clay is a little undersized. He's a very good tight end. He's a little undersized, though, for what the Saints like to do. But over on the other hand, the New York Jets have decided they've decided essentially to move on from defensive tackle Mike Pennell Jr. Mike Pennell Jr. might be a name that you're not really familiar with, and I wouldn't blame you for that. He's not a superstar by any means, but he is a solid defensive tackle in the middle of that New York Jets defensive front. That New York Jets defense was looking really good for a while, and particularly in the middle of the season, and a lot of that had to do with their run defense. If you look at the Pro Football Focus grades for Mike Pennell from last year, 87.1 overall grade on the defense, and a lot of that is weighted because of his 87.0 grade in run defense. 20 run stops, which would be at the line of scrimmage or for a loss. He also added, he didn't add any sacks, but he also added 13 total pressures and 2 quarterback hits. He's got a 74.5 pass rush grade despite not having any sacks, but he's not much of a pass rusher in the middle. The Saints would still be looking to find somebody to help cover that in the defensive interior because they would be missing that with Sheldon Rankins and potentially David Onyemata. However, if they're looking for a cheap option at the defensive tackle spot to help them with the run game along with Taylor Stallworth, Mike Pennell Jr. might be a solid option for them in free agency that wouldn't break the bank and would probably be willing to go for one of those 1 or 2 year short-term contracts as the Saints get ready to prepare for all of the work that they're about to have to do in 2020-2021 with all of the re-signs they have coming up then. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I think that one of the most disappointing things about last season was never being able to watch Darius Geis go off in the NFL. And he was asked about his rehab coming up on, coming into the offseason, getting ready for training camp, all that. Like he's ready to come back against Washington, or for Washington rather, after tearing his ACL, never really having that rookie season. He doesn't really have a definitive timetable for when he's going to come back, but apparently he's saying that he is still as strong as an ox. This is a guy that come 2019 season, I hope that they just chill him out during training camp. I mean, obviously he's going to have to adjust and get back to game shape and everything. I get that, but yo, Darius Geis is somebody that I cannot wait to see in the NFL. Of course, hometown guy, LSU superstar, took over after Leonard Fournette left for the NFL and ended up with Jacksonville. And so I'm so pumped to see Darius Geis in the NFL. And I would love someday, this is, we all have our pipe dreams about players, but if Darius Geis one day ends up in the black and gold, that would just make me the happiest little Louisiana boy, happiest little New Orleanian ever to walk the earth. But that's neither here nor there. That's not actual analysis. That's just me being goofy. But Darius Geis coming back for next season in 2019 is definitely something that really excites me looking ahead to next year. And then to close this all out, more Antonio Brown news. Antonio Brown and Art Rooney, owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, or president rather, of the Pittsburgh Steelers, met and have both agreed that it is time to move on. So the Steelers have agreed to pursue trades for Antonio Brown, with the one stipulation being that Brown himself and his agent are not allowed to speak to any other teams, meaning don't treat this like it's free agency, Antonio. Let the teams do the talking. Let them do what they need to do. Antonio Brown said as well in an Instagram post that he just really is hoping to hear from a team that wants a hungry wide receiver. Could the Saints be on that list? Probably not. Should the Saints be on that list? Absolutely. I talked about this yesterday. I think that the Saints should absolutely inquire and see what it would take to get Antonio Brown to New Orleans. You would be stupid not to. There's no reason not to try to get one of the best receivers in the league on your team. But the reality of the situation is that they just probably don't have the capital to get him there unless, you know, the Steelers just feel like doing the Saints a favor, which I cannot even imagine. I know that the Steelers are not going to want to trade him within the division. They're likely not going to want to trade him to New England. That's for certain. But, you know, they've said that they're willing to take a look and listen from other teams, no matter who they are. So keep an eye out on the Antonio Brown story developing and continuing to develop and really sort of reaching ahead as it's, or maybe not really reaching ahead. I guess I should say it's finally going to conclude at some point in the near future. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Saints. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure that you come back tomorrow. We're going to be talking tight end review later on this week. We're going to be talking about defensive players to watch at the NFL Combine. Things are right around the corner. It's getting more and more exciting as we move on day by day by day. So I just want to thank you so much. As always, for coming through once again. I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, fellow Saints fans about the show, and please take some time to rate and review, as every little bit helps a lot. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints, and be sure to subscribe so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for all your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.